I'm correspondent Tom Wilmer. Come along and join me for a visit with executive chef Ryan Fancher and his wife Rebecca at the four-star hotel Slo, located in the heart of downtown San Luis Obispo. Fancher grew up in Santa Barbara and got his start in the culinary world at the legendary San Ysidro Ranch before migrating north to the Napa-Sonoma region, where he was blessed to work beside legendary chef Thomas Keller at the renowned French Laundry. Fancher eventually relocated back to the Central Coast in San Luis Obispo when he was offered the position of executive chef at the Hotel Slo. Fancher stewards the culinary offerings at the hotel's three distinctive dining venues, Ox and Anchor, casual dining at Piadina, and the rooftop bar, fittingly dubbed High Bar, with stunning vistas of the city and surrounding region. Come along and join Fancher and his wife Rebecca at the hotel's fine dining venue, Ox and Anchor, to discover the rest of the story of Fancher's illustrious, trendsetting, uncompromising culinary journey.
My name's Ryan Fancher. I'm cooking for a living.
Here you are. You came down from Northern California to San Luis Obispo.
Yes, sir.
How did you land here and what was the gig?
I'm originally from the Santa Barbara area. I had spent a couple decades up in the Napa-Sonoma area. Got a chance to do a little bit of work in New York and experience that.
Did you go to culinary school?
No, I never did. I actually took a summer job in high school. That was just one of those things where the life kind of just chose me, kind of stumbled upon it and just fell in love with it. And it's all I ever wanted to do.
Did you ever go to CIA up
I
in
did.
Napa?
Yeah. So I did go up to take one class. Yeah, it was just so expensive. And I was working with a great chef at the time, Martin Schneider. And he kind of told me that maybe a better path would be just choose great restaurants, because mm-hmm. then you really get to master techniques, as opposed to give somebody $40,000 and get a small exposure to a lot of different things. So mm-hmm. it was an unconventional path, but that's the one that I chose.
Most memorable gig up in Northern California, Napa area.
Which job?
Yeah, just one kind of standout.
Man, I got a chance to work at the French Laundry in
Keller?
Yeah. I think it was 2001 to 2004. And at that time, that restaurant was the yep. restaurant. I mean, it still is. You have so many great restaurants these days. But at that time, mm-hmm. you know, before cell phones and all that stuff, that was the spot.
Line out the door there, yeah.
Yeah, for sure. Booked out for months. Yeah. So that was pretty crazy.
Were you on the line there?
I was. Well, my first job in that area was Auberge du Soleil. So I was working at their sister property in Santa Barbara, the San Ysidro. Mm-hmm. I transferred up to Auberge and I did a couple years there. Moved up there ultimately to try to get in at the French Laundry to test my skills to mm-hmm. see if I could stand next to the very best.
Did you stand next to Keller on the line?
Yeah, I mean, at that time it was before Bouchon Las Vegas and before Per Se. So he was on the mound yeah. cooking five wow. nights a week, every night. And his house actually is in the back of the restaurant. Wow. So, I mean, he was there
yeah, yeah.
fighting for it every day.
Looking back, were there any kind of epiphanous moments, things that you observed or learned from Keller that were like, wow, that's cool. That's going to become part of my lexicon.
Yeah, I mean, team, you know, even though it was kind of a shark's tank in the sense that there was a lot of very talented cooks there and everybody was fighting for their spot, you had to support your partner next to you. It was like, not only did you have to perform at a high level, but you had to impact those surrounding you in a positive way. Communication was built on respect. It was right away, thank you so much.
That's a pretty incredible philosophy to have in the right. back of the line in the
yeah.
kitchen. A lot
yeah.
of them, you want to duck. You want to
yeah, for
stay
sure.
out of the firing line.
Yeah, little things like, you know, we had towels, not rags. We had trimmings, not scraps. Everything was referred to and respected. And the sous chefs helped the cooks. I mean, nobody went down. I mean, the restaurant was more important than the individual, and the team atmosphere was paramount.
Was that philosophy predicated on Keller?
Yeah,
he drove
the message daily, mm-hmm. and he would drive the message, you know, he was tough.
We could go on forever, just backstory, yeah. but here you are in San Luis Obispo.
Yeah.
How did you get here, and what was the gig that you agreed to sign up for?
I was working in Healdsburg at a restaurant called Barn Diva, cool little boutique restaurant, and I had been there for 10 years. We just had a couple kids, my wife and I. Piazza Hospitality, Paolo and Cersei had a couple hotels there in Healdsburg. They were opening this one down here. You know, one day they asked, hey, would you be interested in coming down and checking it out?
Mm-hmm.
Me, I was very interested because I was from the area and I always wanted to live near the ocean.
Where did you settle?
I ended up settling in Napomo, which I really love. A lot of golf courses, a lot of eucalyptus. You can smell the ocean. Very small town, so it's definitely my style. Hot coffee every morning with the dense fog. I'm loving it.
Movie set.
Yeah, right.
So here you are, you're executive chef?
Yeah.
At?
Well, we have three restaurants here.
Oh, so you handle all of them?
Yeah, we handle all of them. We have a casual, you know, California Italian-influenced restaurant that does breakfast, lunch, and dinner, and great outdoor dining. And we have a fine dining steakhouse and a rooftop bar.
All within the umbrella of the Hotel San Luis Obispo.
Yeah, all within one roof.
That's really cool.
Yeah, we do a lot of events, also specialize in corporate events. We do a lot of stuff with Cal Poly, a lot of stuff with local winemakers and wineries. Cool offsite events too. Mm-hmm. Like we got a chance to do Gary Eberle's 80th birthday. We do an annual dinner with Biddle Ranch, their harvest dinner. So try to get out to the wineries as often as possible too.
So you're set up for full remote catering then?
Yeah, a little bit. I mean, we figured it out. Necessity being the mother of invention, you know, we got asked to do one and then we figured it out. Mm-hmm. We load up the trucks and get out there and build the kitchen sometimes if we have to. And
let's talk for a moment about philosophy of cuisine.
You know, I'm fortunate enough to have chosen some great restaurants, so I feel like we're pretty fundamentally sound. We can make hollandaise, we can make a beurre blanc, we can make potato puree. So then, building on the fundamentals of technique, we try to choose only the best ingredients. Mm-hmm. So around here, it's easy. There's so many great farms. Oh my God, Chavez family, Bautista, Hayashi. I mean, it goes on and on and on. So what we do is we choose the best ingredients. We try not to manipulate them too much. Kind of get out of the way a little bit and don't fuss with it too much and just kind of like let nature be the star a little bit. So that's it.
Well, as you know, I've dined here a few times.
Uh-huh.
And I spent years covering Nebraska, Omaha and whatnot.
Yeah.
You know, the Omaha steak. You know.
Right, yeah.
In all my travels across America, the most, oh my God, steak dinner I ever had anywhere in America was here.
Oh, no kidding. That's nice of you to say.
And I'm not alone. You can talk to my wife. You can talk to grandkids. We all are going, how does he do that?
Oh, man. I hate to tell you, but it's butter. Butter and salt.
I love it. Like the Cayucas cookie.
Yeah, right.
It's exactly, man. Your somm the other day, the sommelier, was telling me, he said, that side of beef might have been hanging 3 days ago.
Maybe.
It's not this aged, you know, forever.
No.
It's like fresh. How do you get it so soft and tender and flavorful?
Yeah. The steaks that we serve here is a breed. We serve certified Angus beef.
Mm-hmm.
And whether it's coming from California or Nebraska or, you know, they choose the breed and the grade. On a New York steak, we serve prime. The hanger steaks, we serve prime. And then the fillets, you don't need to serve prime because it's such a tender cut. So a lot of beautiful tender steaks with big flavor, nice marbling. We've tasted through a lot of different companies, a lot of different steaks, and we've landed here and it seems to be the best. And then of course, you know, we make the special grill butter. Every steakhouse has their own secret grill butter with garlic and rosemary and different things. And it just gets a nice base throughout the cooking process. Cook it nice and hot, let it rest, get out of the way a little bit.
Is there a signature dish or signature dishes that people come in expecting to find?
I love salad. I love big, beautiful, colorful, bright salads. I think Grand Manger and First Course is a little bit slept on as a station, but I think it really sets the tone. So we try to have really beautiful, bright first courses, crab cakes, prawns, egg rolls. We actually do a bone marrow tater tot where we roast the bones, you know, scrape the bone marrow out, bake the potato, fold it all in, and then breadcrumb it and serve it with a little horseradish creme fraiche. That dish is pretty serious. It's pretty good.
That's labor intensive back of the house. Huh?
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. For sure, yeah. And the potato puree, you know, like, or mashed potatoes, as it were. The technique and the love and the timing that goes into that particular dish, I think, it's pretty special. Mm-hmm. It's pretty special. Kind of like the Robuchon potato, where it's he's a famous chef and famous for his potato, equal parts butter and potato. Mm-hmm. I don't mean to say the word butter so much, but
but it works.
But yeah, I mean, you're not going out to eat every night. But when you do, you want it to deliver on decadence and, you know, mm-hmm. I mean, I'm all for health and wellness, but I think, you know, if you're going out to a fine dining steakhouse once a month.
Special treat.
Yeah, you should indulge a little bit. Just have a couple bites, you know.
And again, if you had to come up with one signature dish to symbolize your restaurant, what would it be?
Oh, man, that's a tough one.
I know. It's like favorite child syndrome.
Yeah, right? I'll have to think about that one for a minute.
Okay.
Yeah, maybe the bone marrow tater tots for the steakhouse. It's kind of a tot town, oddly enough. Like, you'll go around town, and everybody's serving tots around here, but our version, the fresh-baked, hand-rolled, roasted bone marrow, chive, the horseradish, the creme fraiche. You know, we source the Kendall Farms creme fraiche, you know.
Not even known, and you're making me so hungry.
Yeah, well, we'll have to cook a couple dishes today.
There you go. The name of the restaurant again.
Ox and Anchor.
Yeah. And that's dinner only or lunch too?
Dinner 5 nights.
Okay.
But we serve lunch and breakfast next door.
Got it.
You know, in the courtyard. So.
And your clientele, mix of hotel guests and locals and vacationers.
This is a cool town in the sense that you can dress up or you can come in flip-flops, and that happens plenty. But we want to be, you know, the restaurant for everyone. So we try to keep the prices not too crazy. The wines by the glass, as you'll see, not super expensive, and try to keep the prices down and just try to be busy. Try to have some atmosphere, try to keep it rolling and have some fun.
One of the dynamics of trendy restaurants, especially dinner houses, is that hard edge, loud kind of boisterous sound. And you don't have that here. You can carry on a conversation without having to yell. So that's cool. It really is a welcoming, comfortable environment.
Atmosphere is important.
It is.
For sure.
A little bit more about the restaurant. How big is it? And it's right down the street from the Palm Theater.
Yeah, right next door to the Palm Theater. We actually work with the theater and the film fest.
Mm-hmm.
We do an Indies and Eats every year.
Oh, nice.
Where they choose 6 to 8 films over the course of January and February. And then we do a little 3-course menu in relation to the film.
Do people come and sit down here?
Yeah, so we serve the dinners on the evenings that the show is playing at the theater. Do both come
so
in for dinner.
So dinner first, and then a flick.
Right.
Okay, we've talked about the restaurant here, but you said you have, what, 2 or 3 on property?
Yeah.
The other venues.
Well, we have a casual restaurant, California style. It started off being an Italian restaurant because the owner's Italian, and it's open 7 days, breakfast, lunch, and dinner. And that was kind of the biggest challenge, going from all this fine dining to learning how to do casual. And it was busy. And it gets busy. I mean, it's got a lot of courtyard seating, a lot of indoor seating.
And what's the name of it?
It's called Piadina. It's like a mixture between a salad and a pizza, right? So that one was a challenge. It was very busy. It's a small kitchen, going from very fine dining into volume-driven, casual. That was the big challenge and super rewarding.
And again, clientele is likely be a local from San Luis or Cambria as a hotel guest.
Yeah, absolutely.
And then there's a third venue here?
Yeah, there's a rooftop bar.
Food up there, too.
Yeah, there's no kitchen up there, so we bring the food from the restaurants down here.
And the name of the bar?
It's a High Bar.
High Bar?
High Bar, yeah.
That's a tough one to reach. So that's real popular?
Yeah, the bar's great. I'll have to take you up there so you can check out the views. It's pretty stunning. So they chose an excellent location.
Cool. So look all across the city and Cal Poly and up the mountains.
Yeah, you can see south down into Edna Valley and then all the way.
The Moros.
Yeah.
That's really cool. Your turn. Anything that you want to share that we haven't addressed? Philosophy of cuisine again. Organic. Where does organic fit in your philosophy?
We're local farm driven, and whether they're, you know, organic or not, we don't discriminate.
Limited.
Yeah, we don't discriminate.
Mm-hmm.
I would say that we want to be here for everyone. Like I said, we try not to be too crazy expensive. We try to serve, you know, the most delicious, freshest food at all times. And we just want you to come in. Just come in and have a good time. Dress up, don't dress up. There's a lot. We got 3 bars on property. We want to be like a meeting place, the center of town. So just come in, and there's kind of a different adventure for everyone.
That he hasn't shared with us that you think would be cool.
I'm Rebecca, Chef Ryan's wife. We do a weekly market menu at Piadina, where the chef starts the day at Arroyo Grande's Farmer's Market and he doesn't always have in mind what is going to be his unique menu for the evening. He lets the ingredients and produce of the market
inspire
him.
Be there,
yeah. So if he's like, oh man, it's fig season, suddenly that incorporates into his three-course menu for the evening. We also do a special weekly pizza based on the inspiration from the farmer's market and a cocktail. So that's something fun that we do over there to incorporate the community and support our local farmers. So this morning I do the social media for the restaurants. Mm-hmm. And so I photograph the ingredients that he picks. And then later that evening I come in for dinner and I photograph the dishes so that our Instagram audience can feel inspired, whether they're local and wanting to come in for dinner or whether they live far away and have visited and want to still feel like they're part of our story.
So social media, is Instagram your most popular?
Yes, I would say Instagram's probably the most popular. We also post to Facebook.
How does somebody find you? What are your tags?
Oxen Anchor. We have Piadina Slow. We have the hotel as a main channel where you can kind of pick up all of those. And we also have
in the hotel
Hotel Slow.
So if you Google Hotel Slow, boom,
we would have an Instagram for them. And then each of the restaurants has their own Instagram. So Ox and Anchor, Piadina, and High Bar. Yeah.
So you're the person behind the curtain.
Ah, sure. You know, he likes to hang out in the kitchen. Mm-hmm. I like to hang out behind the camera.
So the market menu we're doing tonight. Uh-huh. So we shopped this morning and got some things.
Fresh is fresh.
Yeah.
I love it.
So I just wanted to tag back in on that conversation about the Indies and Eats.
Oh, yeah.
So that's
the Film Fest.
We do a little collaboration with them. So for example, when there was a Julia Childs movie that Ryan got to partner with,
she was Santa Barbara, right?
Yeah. There's a cool story about Ryan and Julia Childs. Back when he was a kid, he worked at the Alpha Beta grocery store and had the honor of helping Julia carry her groceries and load them into her car. It's a true story.
Yeah, I grew up, you know, watching KQED and Julia Child and, you know, Yan Can Cook and Jacques. And so
it's her fault that you wound up in the culinary world.
Yeah, I really loved it from the beginning. And
so that really was a stimulus for you.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. For sure. It was always on TV. So
yeah, they don't make them like her anymore.
No, they don't. Yeah. And, you know, I saw you did a podcast with Sky. So we get a chance to work with Sky at the Palm Theater and the Film Fest.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, that's been great. We've done some really cool movies.
It's just been fun to see how, you know, before the movie airs to the local audience here, we watch it ahead of time in our home, and he comes up with a menu that's specific to the movie.
Oh, cool.
So, for example, this January, one of the movies was General Zhao's Chicken. So Chef Garrett, who is a chef that Chef Ryan supports here on property, helped come up with a cool recipe for that.
So you guys have fun.
Yeah, we totally do. We make it a good time for sure.
We did Sideways this past year, and so we got a chance to
Poor Merlot.
Yeah. Well, we got a chance to hang out with Gray, the winemaker at Hitching Post Wines, and so he came up and poured in the dining room while we served the meal. We got a chance to so whenever there's like a local connection, we try to reach out.
And so again, you'd find out about a lot of that through social media, right?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Promote it there, yeah.
I'm kind of a humble guy. I don't have a lot of stuff to say, so.
To learn more about your world here, where would you take us?
Ox and Anchor at the Hotel San Luis Obispo. I'm Ryan Fancher. I'm the chef. We built and opened the place and have been protecting it, loving it ever since then, and we think you'll really enjoy it.
And I'm Chef Ryan's wife, Rebecca, and do the restaurant social media. You can follow us at Piadina Slow, highbar.slow, and Ox and Anchor Slow to catch up on all the fun things happening in the restaurants.
I love it. And I'm your host, Tom Wilmer, reporting from downtown San Luis Obispo. We'll see you here.
You've been listening to the Lowell Thomas award-winning travel show Journeys of Discovery with Tom Wilmer, a featured podcast on NPR.org's podcast directory. You are invited to subscribe to Journeys of Discovery with Tom Wilmer on NPR.org, iTunes, and more than 20 other podcast channels around the world. To learn more about Tom Wilmer's journeys around America and the world, log on to thomaswilmer.com.
This is Roseanne Cash, and I'm sitting here with Tom Wilmer. Please support your local NPR station. I listen to WNYC in New York. In fact, NPR is all I listen to. If I didn't have NPR, I would feel like my lifeline to the world has been cut. So, yes, please support your local NPR station.